And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. I've got the Spot 242 comedy troupe on the air with me. We've been enjoying ourselves the last two segments, and for those of you that just tuned in, don't forget you can go to our website at www.ngb.org.bs and you can listen to the archive shows. So if you just tuned in halfway through and you're rolling around laughing and you're like, oh my God, I need to listen to the beginning of that show, just go to the website in a couple of days and we'll upload it there. So I've got Garsakani Nash in the studio, Candy Rigby, Gianna Wallace, and Aaron Green, all part of the group who will be coming up. Aaron's looking very contrite. You can get on the mic. That's fine. Just jump in.
There you go, Aaron.
They're going to have two shows on at the Dundas Theatre, otherwise known as the Winston V. Saunders Theatre. It was renamed last year. And tickets are $20, and those shows are on Saturday 12th and Saturday the 19th. And I am not going to be here, unfortunately. I'm going to have to change my whole summer vacation now.
Sorry.
Because now I want to go, because I've been having so much fun. But everyone else has to go.
Okay.
So, exactly. So, anyway, you guys, you're all here. What do you do? How did you tell me how you all got into this? Because you said the group was founded by someone else. So how did you find yourselves in the Spot 242?
Can I tell how I got there?
Yeah, you all go.
Please. I think it's nice to hear the personal stories.
Okay, go ahead.
I started in show number 3 and have been with it ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that was not an interesting story. I'm sorry.
That was show number 3, the first season. I've been the producer of the show.
How did you know you wanted to be a comedian? How did you get there?
The people who started the show had a company called Thoughtcatcher, who were they're like brothers to me.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Sarah, other known Cleveland Indians, and Koji Wright.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought me into the company during that time, and with the specific view to be the leader of the troupe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a very creative person. I'm a logical person. My right side don't work as well as my left side of my brain.
It's okay. And we need both.
Exactly. And knowing that, they were like, okay, since you're basically the most non-creative of us, and I was
a weird backhanded compliment.
No. Because another part of it too is because we all grew up together. I was always like the older brother.
And you need
oldest,
the organizer, sure. Right. That's why I'm the director, right? Because
exactly.
I'm the mean lady who makes
and
everything
so
start on time.
It just naturally worked out that I became the producer of the show, and I've been with it ever since. And it has always been my goal to keep it as creative as possible. Mm-hmm. I always refer to the spot as Toastmasters for creative people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
And
you know, if you spend time with us, I guarantee you, you will be a better public speaker afterwards. We have got people.
So are you open to anyone to join?
Anyone. We tell Bahamian stories. And so we want anybody who lives or resides here.
All right. How do they get in touch with you?
You can get us on Facebook, The Spot 242, Instagram, The Spot 242.
Okay, I have to start following you now. All right. So now I want to hear, Ken, because it sounds like it's going to be a good story. Candy?
I don't know if it's going to be a good story.
It better be. Right?
Yeah, she
but I remember going to King and Knights to watch the show.
Right.
And I'd done some acting in church when I was like 5 or 6 years old, so I always loved the stage.
Let me interject and say, I would say about 70% of all people involved with the show saw the show and then decided to join.
Okay.
They felt moved that I have to be a part of this.
Cool.
And that's what happened. We went to King and Knight, and after the show, I was like, "Bye, I got to get in this show. How to get in this show?" And so finally, I figured out how to reach Sakani those, and I auditioned and came to practices and got on stage, and I was like, I never leave in the spot. This is where I belong. I have to be in this show constantly, and that's how I started. Unfortunately, I moved away for a while, so I missed quite a few seasons, but I ain't going nowhere no more.
Yes, hey.
I'm back.
And Gianna said that, like, it helped him, like, you said it, like, to, you know, comedy was a way for you to, like, deal with life, basically.
Life.
So is that something that gives you all as well?
Definitely.
Is that something?
If having a long day, like, I can't wait to go to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Practice days are awesome.
Hilarious.
Because if my week has been hellish, I can leave it right there at practice. It's a healing relief. So I find that it's great and it's necessary for me.
Now, Aaron, you popped in and we haven't heard a lot from you because you came late.
Candy started in season 3.
Yeah.
So I came in.
No, I started. I started show number
show
three.
Number three. In okay, show one. Three, season one. I get all confused. Right, right. All right.
But she's
so
not
because I was surprised
three.
When I heard. I mean, not that I don't think you're a super funny person because you are, but I've always known you and Tina as being social activists, as being like food, you know, like good food, and I thought of it as you and not. I didn't think of you as serious, like. But whenever I hear you, you know, in the morning show, it's you know, normally you're like super engaged and you're like, okay, come on, people, wake up. And when you were like, oh, I'm a comedian, I was like, oh, okay, that's a new, that's a whole new side,
a whole new twist. That's
whole
what the squad
twist.
Is doing.
Oh, okay.
So he's twisting.
I used to bartend like one night a week, so my capacity for making money was limited. So I started telling jokes, like I used humor to increase my tip. Mm-hmm. Income. And so I started doing improv stand-up comedy, mm-hmm. right? And a friend of mine was like, "Boy, you still very angry, right? Like, come to the spot. Come check this out." So when she told me about the spot, I was like, hold up. Because here I am doing improv stand-up comedy. And nobody would understand like what I was doing. And then people were like, oh, you must have scripted that. And so when I found these guys, it's like, oh, somebody that understands, right? And so then for a period while I was with the spot at the very beginning, I was doing the spot and then doing sort of artivism and using improv stand-up comedy to push my advocacy, mm-hmm. right? And then I still ain't get a job yet, so I have lots of free time to hang out with these by them. And that's pretty much it.
And she started in season five.
Yeah.
And Gianna, what about you? How did you end up being with this gang of crazy
well,
people?
Well, truthfully, I had a couple of friends who was a part of the group. And we used to hang out and just pretty much crack a lot of jokes or whatever. And every Tuesday and Thursday, they'd say, "But we got to go." I try to figure out where they gotta go. So I sit in there by myself while all my friends go to the sport practice and I gotta tell myself jokes. So it's just a situation like the next time they say, "Boy, we gotta go,"
you
I
go
say,
with them.
"I come in with y'all." And I end up to the spot. And it was great. No, truthfully, it was kind of easy transitioning because, like I say, like I had a lot of friends. I had maybe about 4 or 5 friends already in the cast. So feeling welcome was pretty easy for me. But it's still a lot to learn. I had to learn
the mechanics of comedy.
Like cues was everything.
Yeah,
like
timing.
Timing is everything. Saying what you have to say, when to say it, and without that, just being a part of the spot, I learned a lot about the mechanics. So listening is like Sakani said, most important. Knowing how to respond to someone. Sorry, I rambling, but...
No, it's good.
No, because this was me when I started. But pretty much, it was a group of my friends who got me interested in it. Maybe a few of them still left in the crew, but I ain't leaving.
Right.
Like, she say she been away and she come back. I here to stay, right. My boy.
So it sounds like none of you, if someone had asked you 15 years ago, when are you going to be a comedian, you wouldn't have all been like, oh yeah, that's my calling, my dream.
No.
This is something that you all kind of found you somehow.
The beauty of it is the spot is truly organic improv comedy. It really just grew out of some, you know, out of college kids who had the opportunity to use their voice, mm-hmm. you know, to reflect what's going on in society. Mm-hmm. And what we have done is we have created a formula that works, mm-hmm. and we can bring people in. Every year we get new people, and almost every year a few people leave.
Do any kids do it?
No, we keep it to 18 and above,
uh-huh.
because we like to be able to discuss adult topics.
Right, okay.
You know what I mean?
Anybody
from 8 to 80 can enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's PG-13, no bad words, maybe a few touchy
But the kids miss it.
Situations, yeah.
Well, kids normally don't exactly.
Because the jokes are usually, above their sense of capacity to understand.
No, I'm just thinking about in terms of, because we're all kind of interested in society.
Well, our long-term plan is to take it into the schools.
Yeah, because that was going to be my next question. Yes, is have you thought about workshops and stuff like that?
Have you thought about what it's going to be like in Nassau with 1,000 just smart aleck kids cracking joke on you? I don't want to be no old woman around here with a bunch of kids cracking joke on me and they funny.
No, it is. I mean, any kind of art, whether it's comedy or painting or singing, it's an outlet, right? It's an outlet of expression. So if you're frustrated and angry, like your friend told you, Aaron, like, oh, you're still angry. Like, it's a way to get it out. It seems to me like a really great solution.
You know what's going to end up happening? I think because we do have children that attend the show. Mm-hmm. We have children that come out. So just how we would have seen the show and want to be a part of it, they're going to probably end up wanting to be a part of the spot earlier than we did. Mm-hmm. So eventually we're going to have to do something where we could probably take on teenagers.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's that why kind it's of so age important range. To get into the schools.
Because my kids, they love the show. Yeah. My two girls, they love...
How old are they?
8 and 10.
Okay.
And they watch it on cable.
Yeah.
The show that we did last year, they come and see it or whatever. And the older one, she still says there's a joke and she goes... But what y'all mean by that? I still don't get it, Mommy. And I say, yeah, don't worry about it.
Exactly.
I'll tell you about it later. Yeah, yeah. In a few years, I'll let you know what that meant, you know. But just the jokes, some of them that's just for adults, they go completely over their heads. So your children can come out too. Good. And they will definitely enjoy it.
Well, the National Art Gallery right now, if any of you have walked down West Hill Street recently, not that anyone walks anymore, but anyhow.
I'm looking forward
good.
To it.
Good. So Connie already knew about it. We are building a public amphitheater. So we are going to definitely be inviting you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because I think, is that also an issue? Like, where you can perform?
Yes.
Yeah, because we have, coming from Justice Gardens, we have strict union and regulatory procedural policies and concerns about taxations, right? And we don't have VAT. The same type of VAT y'all have in Justice Gardens.
And the Dundas only have VAT.
You know. So is it hard for you to perform? I mean, because I know that it's always difficult finding just a place to do stuff. Like, and does that kind of cut
not
into?
Not really. The Dundas has kind of been perfect for us.
Good.
That's been the beautiful. We got a good relationship with the people who run it. And it gives us the ability to use the... There's only two ways to get to Justice Gardens. Mm-hmm. Either you got a... Justice Gardens exist on a little island off the coast of the main island Bahamas, which is Nassau. And there's a bridge that gets there. Now, you got to go, you know, down south by the pools, by South Beach. The road to take you to the canal, there's a little dirt road there. If you follow the dirt road, you can come to this bridge. When you go across the bridge, you enter Justice Gardens, which is a little key. Now, there's only one other way other than that bridge to get there. And that's through the Dundas. So when you enter the Dundas, you are in Justice Gardens. So we use the entire building as our stage. Mm-hmm. Even to the point where you will find every now and again one of our members is sitting in the audience right next to you. And you'd be surprised when somebody comes on stage and addresses the person right to the side of you.
Because you're in Justice Gardens.
Yeah, you're in Justice Gardens. You exist in the spot where these characters live.
And it's like, you know, when you go to the airport and you go into U.S. the pre-clearance and you in the U.S. it's just that's like that.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Once you cross them doors in the Dundas.
Once you pass me, like I've been in Justice Gardens for 6 months now training. I am one of the newest Defense Force recruits in the Chickchani unit, Bush Patrol, and I will be on duty, right? So once you pass me, you in Justice Gardens.
Okay. Right? I'll be looking out for you.
Don't mind the Gnep in the back of the building tastes like Nassau Gnep. You in Justice Gardens.
Yeah, I see you brought some Gnets with you.
Yeah, I teef these from a Chickchani. Let's not talk about that right now.
Are they sweet?
They are sweeter than I was this morning when I wake up.
Because I've been seeing some on the side of the road, and I'm like, it's too early. It's too early for sweet Gnets. People are trying to rip me off selling them on the side of the road.
See, we have to learn to appreciate these things. Everybody on the road, but I don't want no sour Gnep. You know how much lime costs in the store? Get yourself some sour Gnep and some sour tamarind and season them things.
Are you sure? Yeah.
Paying $2 and a half for
but that's
one
what we
doing
in Justice Gardens, you know what I mean? And that's what improv comedy is about. It's about we do set up a box to operate in, you know, which is a basic framework, and then we fill it in with characters, and there's always the funny. And once we know what the funny is, we allow the characters to be themselves. And in essence, they walk their way to the funny.
So do you all find your own costumes and everything too?
Yep.
So you come
Saturday we have a prop day. And we're all going to get together, create props that we need. People exchange clothes.
I was going to say, do you see something and you think to yourself,
you could use this.
Yeah. Always.
Like there's a guy, a cast member last night told me that he'll be a firefighter at the dump. And he was asking for boxing gloves.
Oh, okay. Oh, I've got a pair of kickboxing gloves. Awesome. There you go.
Yeah,
so.
They're white with flames. They're
kind of cool.
What he's looking for.
So, like, with the proper preparation, right? We can perform anywhere because we bring our skills together with our props to suspend your belief, right? So we could turn anywhere into Justice Gardens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you were all together and someone just threw out a topic at you, would you be able to just pull up your people?
We do that. Usually we have an improv segment where all the cast is on stage and we ask for ideas from the audience and we take a few of the ideas and we
just run.
Run with it. We go sit back maybe 3 or 4 minutes backstage and come back with a skit.
To prove to people that it's improv. Because our first few years, people didn't believe us.
I can imagine.
So to prove to them that it's improv, we say, okay, give us an idea. And we go backstage for 5 minutes and then we come back out and we perform it for you. Now we have transitioned to a skit that we call What's Next, where we start a skit. And we do about 3 minutes, and then we pause it, and we say to the audience, okay, what happens next?
Yeah. Oh, cool.
And they give us what happens next, and then we perform it, and then we pause it again in another 3 to 5 minutes. We say, okay, now what happens next?
But the funnest part is trying to improv your castmates, right? So throughout the show, there'll be fillers, right? And cast members have an opportunity to basically fill the space with some improv. These guys don't know yet, right? So most of the ideas are coming up from Bahamian culture and experiences, but sometimes we look at the world and we take something we see and bring it back home and make it Bahamian. So I got something coming for these boy them on the stage. Right, I don't know if you remember that famous Saturday Night Live sketch with the cowbells.
Oh man, with Christopher Walken. I got a fever for the cowbells.
Right? Could you imagine?
Could you imagine some
Bahamians Bahamianizing the cowbells with proper Bahamian cowbell culture?
Listen, my kids and I can do that whole skit. We love that skit. Oh my gosh. Aaron knows my kids. They're pretty funny. So that's why I was asking about kids. It sounds like something like maybe that's too much. We were talking earlier also about our summer camp and being with kids all day. But it sounds like something that could be such a positive force
for
change in the country, right? Is going into schools and having kids find a way to open up and find humor in. And I think that was what was so powerful about that film that I now can't remember, the Vita e Bella, the one with the Italian film. It was all about the Holocaust. And it was, it was a really intense film, but it was all about this father making his son think they were in, like, basically a big sketch as a way to deal with trauma, right?
Wow.
And it was amazing. It was amazing. And I think, again, that would just be, like, I think it's a very powerful thing you're all doing. Like, we're all here, like, laughing, but
it's actually very, very powerful. And that's why we plan to move it into the schools, to find those young comedians that can give them a voice. One of the most important things about what we do is we provide a safe place for people to find their voice. And there are many people, Jay Chris, he started with the spot. There are many others who have passed through our ranks and move on to do other things, but we help them to find their voice. And that's very
important. I think that's kind of, in a way, that's what the arts does, right? And that's what we talk about the NHGB as being, is like a safe place where you can just express yourself in a non-judgmental place.
Where people
can come and listen or look or whatever and try to understand that message and whether it makes them laugh or it makes them cry. And then,
We embrace the full collection of Bahamas. Caucasian, Haitian, so-called Bahamian.
Chikchani.
Chinese.
I find that about the artistic community, too. The artistic community is an accepting community. And whenever I kind of get out of my little world, then I get depressed about the Bahamas. Right, but when right. I'm in my creative world, I'm not
you
depressed at all.
Well,
because
together.
I see how much potential and how much and love
got,
and how much belief.
Atheists, yeah. Christians,
yeah.
gay people.
Everybody.
You know,
everybody.
Everybody.
Who's the gay person?
Yeah,
who's
straight.
The gay person?
Exactly.
I don't know. We got a few.
Exactly. Let's not get down to the straight people.
yeah, but we embrace everybody yeah. and we learn to work together. And mm-hmm. to me, that's the beauty of the sport. It's a small mm-hmm. microcosm of the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. You know, and I wish our country could work as well together as we work together.
Yeah. I think it will eventually. It will. It will. We have to believe. And on that happy note, I do. When I go into Junkanoo Shacks, when I hear about things like your group, when I look at pop-up studios, I believe that. I believe. Because
yes.
I see those
it.
Microcosms and exactly what you say comes
it's
true,
working.
Which is that it's everyone working together,
right.
irrespective of color, creed, whatever.
Exactly.
And so I believe we can do it. So so everyone is listening. That's been The Spot 242. You can reach them through their Facebook page, which is
The Spot
242. Instagram.
The Spot 242.
They don't change.
No. And soon to be YouTube, The Spot 242.
And, you know, for those of you that are like me and misunderstand things, that's The Spot with a D.
Yes.
Yes. And most
The
people.
Spot.
So,
and Spot is actually
Candy, I gave
an acronym.
Candy a character. So, anyhow. So, we've had Garsakani Nash, Candy Rigby, and Jana Wallace, and, of course, Erin Green.
Certified Chicchani catch-all.
There you go. In the studio tonight. They will all be performing with the entire troupe at the Winston Saunders Theatre, otherwise known as the Dundas Theatre, on Saturday the 12th and Saturday the 19th of August. You can buy tickets. They're $20. And we really encourage you go out. They've also got the cable show Wednesdays at 8:30. And anything else to say?
Every show is different. For the past 12 years, we have performed a different show every time.
So that basically
no
means buy tickets for both nights. That's what that means.
Every
show
is different.
That's code for buy tickets both nights.
Oh, and Erin could be in a dress, like a tight dress with heels and cleavage at some point.
Oh, my gosh.
Night.
I have to come see that. That's a
must-see.
Right there. That's a must-see. So everyone, go out, buy tickets. The Spot 242 on Facebook. Follow them, buy tickets, go out on the 12th and 19th of August. I want to thank you all for being in
thank
the studio
you.
Tonight.
For having us.
You've
thank
been listening
you.
To You Are So Welcome.
Good evening, 242 people.
Yes, The Blank Canvas, visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you've been listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Thank you so much for listening, and good night.